post that I know that all of you guys will be able to learn from her, as well as be taken aback at all of her accomplishments as well. And so her name is Sharon Filyaw, and she is a fitness professional. So this is what she does. This is what she loves. She comes with a huge amount of knowledge in building a healthier body and achieving your fitness goals. And I know that we love to discuss health and wellness on this podcast. That's our name. That's our, you know, the center of our show. But she truly embodies this. Now, not only is Sharon a certified personal trainer through the American Council on Exercise, she is also a master's figure champion and a national level competitor. So she has competed in the International Natural Bodybuilding and Fitness Federation Northeast Classic, and also she has competed in the Arnold Amateur International Bodybuilding Championships. And those are just a few things. Those are just a few things that she has competed, different events that she has competed in. Her specialty is actually in senior exercise and fall prevention. And it's really, I thought that was really interesting, because here she is, and we can tell clearly she has a drive for not only competition, but has a love truly for fitness. And the one thing that I love about Sharon is that she's not selfish with it. You know, she takes it to the next level, and she helps her clients of all ages and different lifestyles to reach their fitness goals. And she doesn't, because there's, when you're good at something, and they always say that you can truly tell when you're good at something, and that when you love it is when you're able to teach others who don't love it and who don't know anything about it, and, you know, change their perspective on it. And if you can teach something, then you truly have a grasp on it. And so I want to welcome to everybody Sharon. How are you, Sharon?
Hello, Pauline. Thank you so much for having me today.
Of course. Thank you. I thank you for your time. And we are just so excited. I know that the listeners today are going to get something from having you today. And we are so excited. And I'm excited just to learn from you, because you are the real deal.
I hope so. I'm trying.
Yes. And so I kind of want to start because, you know, I wanted to learn a little bit about your background first, and to kind of introduce you so that the listeners really understand your commitment and what you bring to the table. Because like I said, people have these different goals and they have these lifestyles, especially now. And I think it's great that it's almost on the forefront of everything, where we're being more conscious about our health and about our lifestyles, and we're realizing that it is important what we do. And so I kind of wanted to ask you first, how did you even get into fitness? Like, what, because, you know, something had to have inspired you.
Well, I'll tell you, I had a pretty bad breakup, and I said, let's see, what can I do to get over it? So I said, I don't drink and I don't smoke, right, but I love to work out. So I began working out, and one day I was on the elliptical trainer, mm-hmm, and I saw a magazine of a figure competitor. And I took the picture and I took it to a friend of mine, a trainer, and I said, I think I'd like to try this. Mm-hmm. And he said, it's a lot of work. It'll take you about 9 months just to get, you know, up to speed to actually step on,
wow,
stage. It's a lot of work. And I said, I'd like to try it. And sure enough, it took me about that amount of time to be ready for my first show. And that was in 2008. Mm-hmm. And incrementally, I did better and better. I gained more muscle maturity. And from there, I just kept competing. And it culminated with winning the Jay Cutler Masters Figure. Jay Cutler, I believe he's four-time Mr. Olympia. He has a show here in Boston. I won Masters Figure in 2014, which qualified me for nationals.
Wow.
And I believe it was the 2014 at the Arnold Classic. I received sixth place, and this is in international competition. So I was very, very lucky and fortunate to have great trainers to help me achieve those goals.
Wow. So you guys do understand when I was saying that she comes with her accolades. She truly does. You know,
it is.
And that was one of my questions that I wanted to ask you, because you did mention that just to get up to speed, to even be at a competition level, it would take a minimum of those 9 months.
A minimum, and it depends on your baseline before you begin. Okay. So you would have to be evaluated by your trainer. Now, there are different levels of competition. There's natural, which is the OCB division, NPC, which is the track for the Olympia, which is not, unfortunately, drug regulated. I'm clean. I don't do any type of steroids or enhancements. Not impugning anyone who does, of course. Mm-hmm. However, I am clean. And my trainer told me, he said, it's going to be twice as hard for you to make it through NPC into nationals being clean. But I did it.
Wow.
But I had to train twice as hard. I had to push very, very hard. You have to lift very heavy. And contrary to what a lot of women think, you don't get big by lifting heavy.
Right.
You get larger by a combination of eating a lot, doing supplements, and lifting very heavy. So unless you have that combination of all three, you're not going to get very big.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no danger in lifting heavy.
Right. And that was, you know, that is something that we've kind of touched on in previous episodes, because that is a major concern for a lot of ladies who are, it sometimes can even stop them from wanting to train, and they decide that they don't want to lift weights because they're too nervous or afraid of looking too manly or looking just buffing. You know, like people say, oh, I don't want to get buff. I don't even want to look huge.
Yeah, that really doesn't happen. Of course, genetics plays a major role, but
sure,
I can curl 45 pounds, right?
Mm-hmm.
In each arm.
Wow.
I'm not a big girl.
Yeah.
So based on your genetic ceiling, it's virtually impossible. It's all in your DNA. And like I said, unless you are in bulking phase, you're eating, you know, 5,000 calories a day, 7,000 calories a day, you're taking supplements, you're lifting extremely heavy, there's really not too much of a danger in getting bulky.
Right. So I think that is actually myth number one that we're going to debunk. Great to know, especially from someone who competes. It's good to know that from someone who actually, this is what you do. And because it's easy to hear from like a magazine, or it's easy to hear from others who say, don't worry about it. It can kind of be discouraging, because like I said, you know, people, I myself sometimes get apprehensive, because especially when I was younger, when I was, because I played sports growing up, but then when it came time for me to go to college and trying to work out on my own, I was really apprehensive about that. And I was worried how I was going to shape my body and what it was going to look like. And I do believe that is why sometimes, especially with ladies, because it's funny, because guys, they lift because they want to bulk up. They're like, oh yeah, I want to get stronger. I want to look bigger.
And it's actually very difficult for men to bulk up as well. They see, the key is the eating. So the problem that I have, and my trainer says, did you eat today? So my problem is actually picking up weight. So as you work out for competition, it's a very strange phenomenon. The food that you eat becomes fuel. It's this cycle where you can't eat enough to keep the weight on. So the struggle is to eat. The struggle is to eat enough when you're in that type of mode where you're preparing for competition.
Mm-hmm.
But as I mentioned, for the average woman, if your eating is pretty, 1,500, 2,000 calories a day standard,
right,
and you do weight training, what will happen is that you will get more tone the heavier you lift. You won't get bigger. Remember, you only get bigger when you eat a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you start to bulk. But if your diet is relatively, normal, you're eating right, and you want to lift some weights or something, you're perfectly fine.
Right, right. So all of you listeners out there, you've heard it from Sharon herself. You would have to actually try.
You won't get big.
Yeah, you would have to make an effort of yeah. as far as your eating is concerned, in order yeah. to pack it on the way that we're envisioning when we think that when we start lifting, how we're going to look. So
it's actually very difficult to bulk up.
Right.
It's not easy.
Right. So, and with that, we're going to take it to a quick break. But when we come back, we're going to dive in a little bit more, and Sharon's going to still be with us. So keep it locked here.
That's it.
You're, okay. you're listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Health and Wellness Podcast. We'll be right back.
Are you looking for help for your fantasy football team? Check out the GSMC Fantasy Football Podcast. Get today's best advice on who to start, who to sit, even who you should draft. From sleeper picks to red hot lineups, they got it all covered for you. That's gsmcpodcast.com/fantasy-football-podcast. We'll cover traditional leagues, dynasty, PPR, even IDP leagues. When you need fantasy help, there's just one show to hit up. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Health and Wellness Podcast. I'm your host, Pauline. And Sharon, like I said, she's still here. She's with us. We are actually just getting started. So we have a lot more information for all of our listeners today. And right before the break, we started discussing the nutrition side of when we start working out and when we start making these lifestyle changes. But like we kind of touched on, it is different. A person who is working out and trying to make lifestyle changes is going to see different results than a competitor, because they are trying, like Sharon said, you actually have to work hard to pack on those pounds and to shape your body. But that if you're just doing a normal, if you're a normal person, whatever that is, you know, whatever normal is, but if you're just trying to change and make a healthy lifestyle change, that you're not really going to get caught up like a competitor wants to look. And so I wanted to ask you, Sharon, because yeah. you, when you prepare for competitions, we lightly touched on this, it is a physical challenge and a nutritional challenge. So what do you think is more difficult, the physical side or the nutrition side? Because I'm an eater. I see it. I want it. I got to have it. But I know that, you know, even when I'm eating something, I have had to train, like, you know, teach myself and discipline myself that I don't have to have the cookie and the cake just because it's there.
Just the cookie.
You
right?
know? Yeah. You know,
I say hands down, not only myself, but other people I've spoken to, hands down, the diet is the most difficult aspect. This is why most people don't make it. The diet is so restrictive. It's very, very difficult. So there are phases to dieting for competition that you must go through. And I would often advise my girlfriends, like they might say, Sharon, you know, what do I do? Get ready for an event. And I'll give them a mini peak week diet, a sort of crash course in how to get their bodies ready for an event so that they're leaned out, they don't have too much bloat. But a large part of it is reducing the sugar. That is key.
Wow.
And carbs are sugar. Carbs are sugar. So any type of bread, crackers, cookies, all that's a big no-no. And that's tough. So what I do, I do a step down. So instead of having 30 cookies, I'll say, okay, today I'll have 29 cookies. And I'll
right. right.
I'll step it down because carbs make us feel good. It aids in brain function. You know, it's a really feel good food. That's why people get addicted to carbs.
Yes.
But unfortunately, carbs causes this slight bloat. And for the purpose of competition, you want to be able to visualize the muscle. So you've got to reduce that subcutaneous bloat and fat. It's called drying out. And all of this peaks on the day of competition, along with dehydration and carbing up the day of competition. There's a real science to it. And generally speaking, if anyone wants to compete, you usually have to have a trainer who has done this to actually guide you through the process.
Which makes a lot of sense. That really does, because I would think, and now I have never competed at this level before, and I've never even attempted to. So it makes sense, because you can read all the books, you can learn all about it, but actually going through that strenuous process is different, because there's different, I'm sure, I would assume there's different, because even when I just work out on my own and I'm just doing like little things, I have to go through the tug of war in my mind, you know, and there's days where I'm just like, this is enough, but I've only been on the, you know, like on the treadmill for like, I look at the clock and I'm like 7 minutes, you know, and so it makes sense. And
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
Oh, and so I was saying, like, it really makes sense that you want someone who has been there before, who has gone through it. And can I maybe even anticipate how you're going to feel at certain times?
Yes. And I was fortunate. Jay Cutler, the ex-Mr. Olympia, like I said, I believe four-time Mr. Olympia, I may be off on that, would actually come to my gym. He'd actually visit me before I would go out on stage. And he would give me pep talks. Very, very supportive. I believe he's out in Las Vegas now.
Wow.
Retired. But he would say, he would give me little tips about when I went on stage. He gave me tips about nationals, about what to do. But it does take a guide. Someone, when you're training for competition, especially for the men, you need someone who knows what the judges are looking for, who can develop the program for you to execute so that your physicality is in peak form, because everything has to be symmetrical. That is a science. This is why Arnold Schwarzenegger did so well. He was a very symmetrical athlete.
Wow.
Part of this is genetic. And you also need what's called outside eyes. It's very hard to train yourself. You don't see yourself as others see you.
Mm-hmm.
So you need a trainer who you can trust to tell you, okay, I need for you to carb up, I need for you to carb down. I want you to hit your lats more. I want you to pull back on the calves a little bit. There's really a science to this. However, for the average person working out, getting back to the diet aspect, a great little rule of thumb I like to give people, pull back on the sugary drinks. That includes Starbucks and Dunkin' Donuts.
Yes.
And, you know, don't add sugar. And try to pull back on the bread as much as you can. And go higher protein. Chicken, fish, even peanut butter is good. That's a nice little protein. Rice, beans, things like that.
Right. And, you know, and that is... And I'm glad that you brought that up, because it makes me feel kind of good, because I'm like, hey, this is something that we've been working on, because you don't realize how much sugar is in just like a Starbucks and just every day, the little things. Like, we did an entire segment a few episodes ago about weaning off soda, because you will see so much of a change by cutting out on the juices, the soda. And unfortunately, whether we like to admit it or not, the whipped cream, the Starbucks, all of that too. And it's so, and it's like so, it's a habit. And it is also, I think, and I know that I got kind of caught up in this, especially when I was away at school, is just because I was, one of my classes, the pathway that I had to take to my next class passed the on-campus coffee shop. So like, why not? You know, let's just stop on here. Exactly. Right. And then, but then you don't realize until you start reading labels and you start learning and educating yourself that this is a lot that I'm, and if you have one coffee in the morning, but then you're eating something else later on that day, like, you don't realize that you are consuming a lot of sugar throughout the day.
Right. Now I will say, you can counteract that if you do a lot of cardio. Okay. So if you're expending out the energy by doing cardio, you know, now I'm not saying you can eat anything you want.
Right.
But you don't have to be as restrictive. But the cardio but has to be pretty high if you're going to have a high sugar intake during the day. So, and particularly as one grows older, you know, I instruct a lot of seniors, particularly for men and women after the age of, I would even say 35, you've got to start pulling back on the carbs and the sugars a bit. You don't need as much food as you did when you were 13.
Right.
When you're 13, you're still growing and developing. Of course, you need high caloric intake. You need to, you know, have dairy and all these wonderful things. But as you get older, you don't need as much. And it takes effort to pull back. But like I said, I think it's easier if you step it down. You don't have to totally eliminate it. Just don't eat as much.
Right. And, you know, if you're listening, that's kind of encouraging, right?
Tell people, don't say to yourself, I'll never have another jelly donut, or else you'll freak out and go to Dunkin' Donuts and buy 3 dozen. So I like to tell people, you have it every once in a while, but just, you know, every once in a while, not, you know, every hour or anything. And just try to, maybe you might say, okay, I'll have 3 cookies a day or something like that.
Right.
This arbitrary number. And you have a limit, and you kind of just watch that sugar intake. That's key. But the sugar is what does it, particularly in your family, if there's a genetic predisposition for diabetes, high triglycerides, high blood pressure. You want to look at the older members of your family to see where you're headed, and this will help to dictate your diet a little bit as well.
Wow, that's actually really something that I never thought about, because people don't talk about that, and we don't say, oh, that you can have a predisposition for something, especially in eating. Like, we do talk about that when it comes to other things, but with your health, it does stem from, you know, genetics.
Exactly. And of course, genetics plays a very large role in our lives, certainly. But if you know that there's a predisposition for certain maladies in your family, you can take steps, you know, to at least help safeguard yourself just a tiny bit, especially with diabetes, if obesity runs in your family, and you know that you're inclined in that direction, you can kind of structure your life so that you don't kind of tip over the edge.
Right.
Once again, it's not, it's difficult. It's not easy. But if you really want it, you can do it. You know, if I can cut back on cookies for competition, anyone can, because I'm addicted.
So. Right. Right. And so with that, we're going to take it to a quick break. But when we come back from the break, we're going to wrap up this episode. So keep it locked here. You are listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Health and Wellness Podcast. We'll be right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch, whatever it may be.
And welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Health and Wellness Podcast. And we've been having so much fun this show, and we're learning so much from Ms. Sharon. And so we wanted to wrap up this episode on kind of discussing the trainer side. Now, I did mention in the beginning that Sharon not only is a fitness professional in the sense that she's a competitor, but she also is a personal trainer. And who better to ask personal trainer questions than to a trainer herself? And so one question that I kind of, and I told her earlier, I was being a little bit selfish with this show because this is some information that I want to know.
Okay,
so we have already learned that even Sharon, who is a personal trainer who competes, has a trainer herself. So that alone should tell you that a personal trainer is important. And
yes, very much so.
And so one thing that I wanted to ask you is how, I guess, okay, what is your advice on what is a good personal trainer? Because there are a lot of people out there. You can even find, you can get like personal training sessions at your gym. You yes. can Yelp trainers. You can Google trainers. You can sometimes get referred to a trainer. But if I'm 100% new to having a personal trainer, what are things that I'm looking for that are good? And what are things that I'm like, that's kind of a red flag. I'm not quite sure.
Okay. That's an excellent question. Now, the first question you should ask yourself is, what do you want to accomplish?
Oh, okay.
National level. So I said, okay, I need a trainer who has competed at a very high level, who knows what the judges are looking for. So my trainer actually beat Kai Greene, one of the Olympia competitors.
Wow.
He's a Mr. New England. He's competed at the national level. Mm-hmm. He knows what he's doing.
Yes.
So for me, for competition, I only allow people to train me who have stood on stage and won.
Mm-hmm. Which so makes it a lot of sense.
Itself to an Olympian. Not to impugn any coaches, of course, but at the Olympic world-class level, you need an Olympic world-class coach.
Mm-hmm.
So it comes back to the question, what are you looking to do? If you're a woman who's just had a baby and she wishes to just get her body back, you don't need a bodybuilder. You need a trainer who is well-versed in post-pregnancy exercise. So that's what you look for. If you're just finished gastric bypass
mm-hmm.
and you're looking for a trainer, I would look for someone who has experience in that area. So depending on what you want to do, you have to look at the credentials of the trainer to see what areas that they specialize in. It's just like a doctor. You wouldn't go to an eye doctor to treat you for your heart, right?
Right.
So it's the same concept. Now, I do have a slight issue with people who don't have a whole heck of a lot of experience
mm-hmm.
and just pass the test. That's not enough for me. So there has to be some sort of that they've competed, that they have some sort of life experience.
Right.
That's just what I'm looking for. So that's where, once again, where I would start asking what are your goals and then looking to see at the credentials of the proposed trainer to see if they match with that.
Right. And that, you know, now that you, when you, it seems like that would be common sense because it makes sense, especially when you said you wouldn't go to an eye doctor for a heart condition. You know,
right.
it makes total sense. So I think yes. setting out what your goals are and yes. considering depending on what you're trying to achieve or what you're trying to prevent, because sometimes we yes. train to prevent certain things from happening
right.
and or just if you just want to make a true lifestyle change, it kind of just depends on what your goals are. They can be as grandiose right. as stepping on a stage as a competitor, or it could
right.
just be for personal reasons and personal gain and things like that. And so I did also want to ask, kind of like on that same vein of, so we know now that personal trainers are important because they help us achieve goals that we have and they keep us accountable. They make sure that there are times, of course, when you need a personal trainer just to motivate you, I think, because
yes.
I, you know, and I think you, because you're being held accountable, but there are days, everybody has days, the best of us have days when we just don't feel like it.
And, oh, sure.
you know, we just don't, you know, it's just one of those days. Maybe it's just like a beautiful day outside and you're like, I really just want to be outside. Or, you
right,
know,
right.
there's I could think of 1,000 excuses when I actually have something I need to accomplish. I can think of so all of a sudden I need to clean my room. Like, you know, all of a sudden there's so many things that take priority
right.
over. So my next question is, that I have for me, because I know that, well, it's kind of like a concern. So perhaps you could kind of, at least for me, I know this is a concern. And for others too, this is something that has come up before, is there's just not enough time in the day. Right. I want to get healthy. I'm changing my eating habits, perhaps, you know, slowly but surely. I'm cutting back on the sugar and things like that. But I'm too busy. I'm too busy.
Okay. So let's say you only have 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
This is the advice that I give to people. Now, you can do a workout in 45 minutes. However, you have to have the sequence of exercises already lined up and written down so you can kind of bang them out with reduced rest times. And what I suggest with that is circuit training. So let's just say you have 45 minutes, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So beforehand, you're going to map out, okay, I'm going to hit arms and shoulders. You know you'll do bicep curls, one set of 10 reps, 1 minute rest, and then you're going to move on to trap raises. And you have to you can do it sequentially like that, moving from apparatus to apparatus. That way, as you move from apparatus to apparatus, you're resting the body part that you just did. By the time you come back around in the circuit,
okay,
you'll have enough recovery time. Now, another way to accomplish a quick workout in a shortened amount of time is interval training. This is what Olympians do.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say you have 30 minutes. You jump on the elliptical. You kick it out hard for 60 seconds, as fast as you can go.
Mm-hmm.
Then at the end of 60 seconds, 1 minute, you keep moving, but it's nice and easy and slow. Minute three, you pick it up for another minute, really, really hard, and you continue that until the end of 30 minutes. You'll be drenched. So these are two ways that you can get a lot done in a little bit of time, and I've done it. So contrary to what people think, you don't really need a whole heck of a lot of time. You just have to know what to do in advance so that when you go to the gym, you're not like,
Right, wasting like, time.
Machine,
yeah, because that sometimes does happen is coming out and that it does. And it's just something also, again, that you can kind of go over with a personal trainer so that on times when you do have like those short amounts of time, but you really know that that's the only time that you have to fit something in, you can develop a game plan.
Right. And this is the trick that, once again, Olympians will do. They'll have a cheat sheet. People used to laugh at me in the gym. Had a laminated card, arms and shoulders day, legs day, chest and back day. And no matter how tired I was, I would just go down the list of the exercises that I would need to do. So I wouldn't have to think.
Right.
See, and that's where having a personal trainer comes in. When you have someone telling you what to do, it does make it a little bit easier, okay? So this is the advantage to having a personal trainer or a personal chef. You can have someone come in and sort of plan everything out for you so that you don't have to think as much. You just execute.
Right. And the nice thing about which I kind of have been starting to use just in my personal lifestyle is is how you said, like with your laminated card, there's apps for that now. There's websites that you can find. So you can just pull it up on your phone. And it's the same idea, just having it there and having a game plan already set in motion. So like you said, you don't have to think about it. You see what you're going to do next.
Exactly. And that makes it so much easier. So, and once again, you're not wasting time saying, oh, which apparatus do I go to? How many times do I do it? It's already mapped out. And if you're tremendously stressed out about something, maybe something at work, the kids, family, whatever, you just go from task to task. You don't have to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
And by the end of the 45 minutes or half an hour or hour, you're done.
Right.
Done for the day.
And you feel, and I personally feel a lot better after I work out. You might have to like drag me in there. There are days where I'm like, I'm not going.
you really get working out. It can be tremendously addictive.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great way. It's the best antidepressant. You work out stress. It helps you to think problems out. It's a wonderful, wonderful outlet. I recommend it to everyone. And as you know, I instruct seniors. My oldest was 103.
Oh, wow.
103. And he was born in 1911, before Titanic.
Oh, wow.
Goodness.
Yeah.
And He lived with his son, who was 75, and his wife, and he was married 77 years. He bowled, he danced, he walked without a cane.
Wow.
He had all of his teeth. He had all of his hair.
What a testament.
And he told me, and he was a thin gentleman. He had no big tummy or anything. Mm-hmm. And he told me, he said, I've been active all my life, but I see this more and more. When someone tells me that they're 98 or 100, I'm not fazed anymore. I see it all the time.
Yeah.
But these are people who have remained active. And you don't have to kill yourself in the gym. The objective is to work out consistently over a protracted period of time. It's not about going in and running 10 miles in five minutes and doing 800 push-ups. No, it's being consistent over time.
Consistency.
So it's kind of like the tortoise and the hare. You don't just make sure you make it to the gym, do some cardio, and you'll be okay.
Yes, that is very, very true. Consistency is very key. So, you know, it's been a great show today having you on, Sharon. I believe that we learned so much. And I think that the main, you know, pullaways that we're having is that, And I think it's just very special that we get to have someone with your knowledge and with your background to tell us and every, yeah, it truly is, because now we have heard from someone who has been there, who has to go through it, who does go through it yourself, and, is to learn that it's not a scary thing. It's not,
no,
at all,
not at all,
but that it is something that we have to work at and that it will take time. But even no matter how big or like whatever scale that we're trying to achieve these goals, that it is possible and that there's little things that we can do that are, I think that, well, what I learned, especially from our, you know, our show today from you, is that sometimes we just psych ourselves out. And that it's, you know, that there are tools such as a trainer, that they're, you know, mapping out a game plan. There's ways to overcome these apprehensive thoughts that we may have, and that it does, you know, it kind of actually surprised me that you said it only took about 9 months. And I'm sure, like you said, you have to have a really good baseline and you have to be very, very dedicated. But that 9 months, if you, that's less than a year to get to a whole different, you know, phase in your body. And so that's really encouraging. So I think that for all of our listeners today, that you may not want to be a body competitor, which is totally fine too, but that even with other goals that we want to achieve, it is possible. It does take time, but that if you can take a year to get to body competition level, then we can take, you know, these next few days and these next few weeks to achieve our own goals. So I really appreciate you coming on the show today, Sharon. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Pauline. Thank
of
you so
course.
Much.
And so for everyone listening, you know, of course, you are listening to the GSMC Health and Wellness Podcast. You can listen to this episode again, any future or previous episodes on our network website, GSMCpodcast.com. Ooh, that was a lot going on there, huh? You know, it's GSMCpodcast.com. You can also find us on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, and Stitcher. And we will talk to you next time. Thank you.